Hello, everyone, and good evening. Thank you all for joining the Magnolia Public Schools Regular Board of Directors meeting. My name is Jennifer Latta, the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. A pleasure to be with you all here again today. A couple of reminders before we begin today's meeting. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you would like to make a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if it's a comment that you want to state anonymously, you may do so as well. At this time, we did not receive any public comment forms for this meeting, but we'll still open it up to public comments. And then also, if you are a presenter at today's meetings, please state your name and your title before presenting yourself to the board and to the public. And for our board members, if you may please state your name before giving your comments or your question. So with that, we'll go ahead and begin today's meeting. The date is Thursday, July 13th, 2023. The time is 7:13 p.m. With that, Mr. Mohamedov, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Jennifer. I would like to call Magnolia Public Schools regular board meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, we will move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you may please stand. Face the flag this way. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Now I'll go ahead and record attendance. Mr. Mohamada?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano?
Here.
Thank you. And then for minutes purposes, Dr. Yapano is joining us from the location at 275 Saratoga Avenue in Santa Clara, California. Dr. Dickbush? Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan? Mrs. Alda? Thank you to our board members. Now that we've established quorum, we'll move on next with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Also move the motion, Diane.
I'll second it for Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Ms. Covarrubias for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. As a reminder, as a notice, we did not receive any public comment forms for this meeting, but if you would like to state a public comment, you may do so now. There are no public comments at this time. We'll move forward next with the approval of minutes from the MPS regular board meeting held.
Oh, sorry, I did have a public.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Good evening. This is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, superintendent from Magnolia Public Schools. Hopefully everyone finds themselves in good health and everyone is doing well. So last time when we met on June 22nd, the academic team provided a very comprehensive update on what was happening across our campuses. And at that time, it was shared that there were some very strong summer school programs happening, and those summer school programs are coming to an end. So I just want to thank all the principals, school site leadership, for ensuring that our kids did have a very strong summer school program. And I know it's ending as we're reaching triple digit heat in the valley, but I know our kids always appreciate any opportunity they get to not only expand their knowledge, but get involved in extracurricular activities. So thank you to the school site, home office personnel who made summer school possible. And then secondly, I'm going to turn it over to our Director of Advancement, Bryant Hollandez and Dr. Lopez. Bryant, if you are present, which I saw you because I think you had a chat bot taking your notes there. Do you want to share with the MPS community the good news we received today from the CDE?
It's not.
Yes, the chatbot?
Yeah, that's something.
I'm going to ask the chatbot. Okay. So that's things that we learned. Chatbot doesn't equal a body, but it means that notes are being taken, which is good. So on behalf of Bryant, on behalf of the academic team and all team who were involved, we were notified today that all of our high schools did receive their early college high school. Each school received $250,000 to ensure that we do implement the early college high school program. So with that, very good for us as we again expand our college programs to our kiddos and ensure that they have access on opportunity. And we're still waiting news on the CCAP, which is another complimentary grant that we applied for. So good job to everyone, but I wanted to share that. And with that, that concludes. Look, I'm an AI assistant helping Brian lend the ticket. Can you speak?
Can you tell us the news?
Can you tell us the news like I just delivered? Maybe not, but maybe it's generating something for next time. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the board to see if they have any announcements that they would like to relay to the MPS community.
Sorry, before doing so, Dr. Dick Bush joined us at 7:15 p.m. Go ahead, board members.
Board members.
So, hi guys. This is Cova Rubias. I wanted to inform everybody that today is my last board meeting. I just found out that I have cancer. So, I'll be taking a break for a couple months to get treated. But I will be back. So thank you guys. And thank you for all your prayers. And I love you guys all.
And with that, I just want to say, this is Alfredo, that the whole MPS family is behind you. We're going to support you. And you're going to get through this. And I know that when we have our next coming meetings, I know that you will be there, whether in spirit or in person, because that's what you do. You inspire us to push hard every day to bring the early college high school program through the experiences of your child. And I know that that holds a lot, and you'll hold on to that, and that's what's going to get you through. So we're here to support you, anything you need.
Thank you.
Thank you for your courage and your commitment to Magnolia, to our community.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody, and thank you, Alfredo. Take care of my baby, please.
Make hey, Sandra, sorry to hear this news, but I just want to let you know that I am here to support you in any capacity I can. You are an integral part of Magnolia. We can't be the Magnolia we are today without your contributions. God bless you for everything you have done for us, and then you will continue to do. It's an honor and pleasure to work with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Doctor. Thank you, guys.
Sandra, families come in all shapes and forms.
Yeah.
And Magnolia is your family, and I'm sure of that. So yes. You're all here.
Thank you, guys. I feel your love, and I'll be back. So,
of course,
you know, just give me a couple weeks, months, you know, I'll be back stronger than ever. Thank you, guys.
Any last comments from our board members? So, with that, there's no appropriate segue, but we've got to move forward. So next, we'll move on with the approval of minutes from the MPS regular board meeting held on June 22nd, 2023. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanov? Yes. Dr. Dick Bush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Oldham?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. So now we'll move on to consent items, starting with 2A, approval of MPS 2023-24 student parent handbook. And just a reminder for consent items, because this is a because these are annual items, you're only allotted 3 minutes for your presentation, so please keep it brief. So with this, I'll turn it over to Mr. Yilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, dear board members and the Magdalene family and Sandra. We love you and we are praying for you. And I hope it finds everybody else in good health. And as we were updating the student parent handbook, I thought a lot about you, especially when we were updating the health and safety portion of the handbook. So, you know, this item is an annual update based on changes in law and MPS policies. Based on feedback from legal counsel and our ed partners, we update our student parent handbook to have an exemplary guide for our schools. On the cover page, you're gonna see high level changes by page number. I'll pick just a few of them due to time. One big update to the handbook is that a missing assignment will be graded as a 0% starting this academic year. We had changed it to 50% with the pandemic, but now based on feedback from our teachers and admin, we are going back to the original model. And of course, they're gonna support our students, so there are no missing assignments. Hopefully this will help with the rigor of grade. Another update is the college application fee policy, which the board approved up to $350 up to 5 applications. So this is reflected in the handbook now. There are three other big updates. One is type 1 diabetes information is an annual notification we have to provide to our students and parents enrolling in elementary school. We had type 2 diabetes info in the handbook. Now we are including type 1. Of course, we should have colorful pamphlets and all of those, you know, good information for our parents at the school sites. This is just, you know, the handbook portion, but we'll have those available as well. The other big update is firearms safety notification that we have to share with parents. So we make sure firearms they have must be, you know, secured at home, safe storage of firearms. And I know our Director of Student Services, Mr. Hernandez, is gonna send out a letter to parents as well. And the last one is about the discretionary suspension offenses. We are removing one offense from there, from the suspension list, willful defiance. So SB 274 is removing it. LAUSD has already done so. So these are some high level updates to our student parent handbook.
Thank you, Mr. Yilmaz. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? No, board members, do you have any questions or comments? No questions or comments. The motion is for the board to approve the MPS 2023-24 Student Parent Handbook. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved, Ümit.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Is there a second?
I'll second, Ms. Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias? I believe she stepped out. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Diklash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alda?
Yes.
Yes. Because Ms. Covarrubias is still outside, regardless, the motion still carries. We'll go back to her for her vote. So now we'll move on to consent item 2B, approval of ACES agreement renewal with YMCA and MSA San Diego. I'll turn it over to Mr. Sirs, our principal at MSA San Diego and the regional director.
Good evening, board members and public. This is Gökhan Sirs, regional director and principal in San Diego. In this item, we ask your approval for our CEO and superintendent to sign the agreement between YMCA and MSA San Diego for our after-school program. Also, you will give him Mr. Rubalcava the authority to sign the memorandum of understanding with our consortium leader, San Diego County Office of Education. We have been working with YMCA for the last 11 years in this after-school program lead role, so they take care of all the after-school activities at our school. And This way we will be able to continue and start strong in the fall of 2023. If you have any questions, I'll be here to address them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sears. Is there any questions or comments from members of the public? No, board members, do you have any questions or comments? No questions or comments. The motion is for the board to grant approval to Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO and Superintendent of Magnolia Public Schools, to sign the Memorandum of Agreement for MSA San Diego After School ACES Program with YMCA at San Diego County and the MOA with the San Diego County Office of Education. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dick Bush. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Alden, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Covarrubias is still, she has stepped out. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
Yes. Thomas Coladugas is still outside, so she'll be counted absent for this vote until she comes back. So with that, the motion is still carried. Now we'll be moving on to action items, starting with 3A, approval of NPS teaching assignments per Ed Code 44258.3. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer.
Good evening, board members. This is Suat, I'm Chief Operations Officer. This is the usual item. We already approved one Ed Code in the last board meeting. This is giving a good, actually, easiness for the school systems to use a certain credential for a non-subject matter area. Upon the board approval, we will be able to use mentors, actually, credentials for some of the subject areas. Again, we have actually one set of Ed Codes in June, second set, and we will be ready for the following school year to hear for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments? If not, the motion is for the board to approve the listed academic teaching assignments for the listed teachers per Ed Code 44258.3, and the listed teachers will be on the following exhibit. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved, Umit.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Eldon, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias is still outside. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Eldon?
Yes.
Yes, and with that, Ms. Covarrubias will be considered absent for this vote. So with that, the motion still carries. Thank you, board members. So now we'll be moving on to action item 3B, approval of renewal of food service agreement between MPS and Schools in Action as the school food authority. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer.
Good evening, board members. This is Suat again, the Chief Operations Officer. There was no pressure on us actually to take this in front of you, but it has been 6 years. Last time actually you saw the SIA contract, it was 2017, June 14th. I felt like I have to give you an update, and then this is an updated agreement, and to give you actually what's going on, because I checked previous approval 6 years ago, I wasn't having a lot of details in it. Now actually we have a running program with them. This is a good thing actually, that's called the School Food Authority. This actually company is the only company in Los Angeles area that charter schools can go and use like the school food authority. Otherwise, we have to do it ourselves, which is costing a lot of money to get this system together. They are helping multiple charter schools, including ours. With this system, the mentioned action in the first page, funding sources, basically National School Lunch Program, other related programs. The money is normally should come to the school, but in this system, which is actually approved by the state and federals are also sending their money actually directly to the school food authority, and they do all the requests for proposals, finding the vendors for the schools in collaboration with us, managing actually the vendors' daily operations, and then covering up to 5% of wasted meals, which is, let's say the school needs 100 actually lunches that day. If they ordered 105, they cover that extra 5% over there. After that, if the school orders more, let's say 120 pieces instead of 100, they cover that 5% meal waste and they charge only the rest of it, which is 15%. And we are minimizing that. So they have a very good system covering our whole operations. They also provide employees, you will see it actually in the board report. They cover the expenses. And if the school has enough, actually, number of students, or sometimes, and you see the report MSA 1 and 5, as you see, they are on the same side. That's why they merge the system, the operations. That's why they are having more, actually, leverage to provide more employees to the site. So meal waste, employee actually assistance, not covering the expenses. It's a very beneficial program for us. And it's costing only minimum at this point, just the meal waste. And if the school, they're having like periodical reports monthly, we do follow the meal waste. In case actually the school goes over the reports, and then we just press actually on the school's operations to get it back to $0 to be charged. So they're having like up to 5%. We are asking them to be actually following the requirements that the SIE is setting them. So contract is in front of you. It's a renewable contract, as I said. It's been 6 years. I felt like I have to put it in front of you as a report so that actually if you have questions about meal programs and any other things, I would be glad to answer your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thanks, Mr. Ajar. Excuse me, I can't. MSA 8 is not.
No, they are actually under LA CAPE, LAUSD, because that's the public school choice. They have to stick with the system. There are three schools in the campus. Except that, all our schools are actually in this schools in actions management system. It's a school to authority.
Thank you so much. And these are costs to us. This is how much it costs per school to run it.
Yeah, as you see, there's no revenues.
So can you?
Yeah, there's no revenue. Revenues are directly going to them. I wanted to make sure it's everything is clear. The meal waste is what we pay. And also, if you look at MSA Santa Ana, since they are going with a separate, actually, available vendor, you know, whose meals are very quality and which is costly, school decided to do so because they got a lot of feedback about, you know, the quality of the school food provided by the previous vendor. They said, okay, we want to go with a better, actually, vendor with better food, which is, we know it's going to cost more. That's why they said, okay, we are okay with all the money is going directly to the cost of the food, and they actually had to cover the operational expense of hiring a new person to serve the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason. All other schools, they followed actually one vendor, you know, not bad quality, but of course, as you know, food actually from, let's say, you know, a certain chain versus another place, you know, you can give the three times the money to get a better meal. In this point, actually, MSA Santa wanted to keep actually the students' satisfaction about the meals at the level. So they wanted to go with a different vendor, which is costly actually.
And I can't help but compare when it comes to this kind of things. MSA 4 and 6, there is a significant cost difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there similar schools? Is there different about them or?
Well, these are the numbers actually directly we got from them. So
we should,
I can check with them.
There is something going.
There's always an explanation, but I'm taking my notes. I'm going to provide an update about the difference.
And like you said, leverage is huge if you're on the same campus. Look at MSA 1 and 5,
yes.
Same as MSA 2, two
mm-hmm.
different schools. So it's, I guess, they're utilizing the same.
Yeah. San Diego's vendor is different.
And also San Diego, Mr. Sirs, you are at 3% waste. You lead in everything, but we don't want to lead in this.
Hi, everyone. This is Sirs from San Diego, principal. Quick comment. The first week of school, we wanted to make sure that every student received the lunch, and we ordered 420 lunches every day. And that's basically the first 8 days. And those are the reasons for the food waste. And based on the student interest, we decreased the amounts. And September is the only invoice that we actually had the food waste.
Okay.
Thank you. They're very good, actually. They asked for the first one.
Any further questions from the board? If not, the motion is for the board to approve the renewal contract between Magnolia Public Schools and Schools in Action as the School Food Authority as MPS's Child Nutrition Program sponsor under the Child Nutrition Programs. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mehan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second the question.
Thank you, Mrs. Seldom, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias is still outside. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Tikvash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. Ms. Covarrubias will be considered absent for this vote, but regardless, the motion still carries. Now we'll be moving on to action item 3C, which is approval of contract for asbestos and lead-based abatement and demolition contractor for 18242 Sherman Way, Reseda, California, 91335. This was presented at the Autumn Facilities Committee meeting held before this meeting, which the committee did recommend for their approval. So for this one, I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov as the chair for that committee.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, we had this item up in front of us earlier at the facilities committee meeting. Basically, this is for the removal of abatement of asbestos at MSA 1 JAM building that we purchased recently. Quality Environmental was recommended by staff, and compared to other other companies that submitted the bidding, some of them only did abatement, others did only demo. Price-wise, seems like Quality Environmental is the best choice. During the meeting, we brought up the legal ramifications to this, if they take the full responsibility in case if something's come up. So the staff informed us that the third party will do the checkups per se afterwards, tests, and once they come clean, then we're good to go. If not, then the Quality Environmental will come back and we'll do the rest of the job. We will pay for the third party testing, which is expected to be around $5,000. One thing that that came up during the meeting is also that to try to pinpoint a deadline on this so that we can push up on them so that the project moves accordingly, because once that process is over, then the TI portion starts, the tenant improvement portion starts, and then eventually we make the facility available to the school. And the staff also informed us that on completion of this whole project, since MSA 5 and 1 share a location, they will be somewhat a breathing room in terms of accommodating them there. So if I missed anything, I'll stop up at here to add, but this is what we discussed for the most part.
I have nothing to add. See you, Mustafa.
So if there's nothing further to add, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? Now, board members, do you have any questions or comments? You have questions or comments? The motion is for the board to approve the award of a contract for one, asbestos and lead-based abatement, and two, site demolition for the Magnolia Science Academy 1 project at 18242 Sherman Way to Quality Environmental for a total fee of $106,388.70, $96,717 contract price, and 10% or $9,671.70. And further approve that MPS staff be authorized to negotiate and sign a professional services contract for such services in such form as MPS staff may deem appropriate and in the best interests of MPS. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Ms. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Gonzalez.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Kodovias is still outside. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dikpash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries, and Ms. Kodovias will be considered absent for this vote. Now we move on to action item 3D, which is the approval of use of Omnia for procurement for Magnolia Science Academy 5 Charter School Facility Program. This was also presented at the Audit and Facilities Committee meeting, but it was tabled. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov on how to proceed with the discussion for this item.
Yes, thank you, Jen. During our audit and facilities committee meeting, we continued to discuss the item with Omnia. Patrick and Mustafa did a great job of explaining it to us. Maybe we are and had some questions and understand it thoroughly. We decided to table it for the facilities committee meeting and bring it to full board and discuss it here and move to next steps all together. So Mustafa and Patrick, I will try to brief board what I understood and then board members might have questions, then feel free to stop me and add some more perspective to the idea. So with Omnia from understanding is that this is an organization, a partnership, a cooperative where a lot of big vendors participate. They participate to do recruitment for their projects. So given MSA 5's projects coming up with Erickson Hall, our general manager, we had agreed that they would recommend us what to purchase for the needs of MSA 5 so that we remove the per se middlemen and we order directly from vendors. That way we may be able to save some money along the process. Now, that had been being discussed for a while, and that seemed like a path that we all agreed to move on. Omnia, Erickson Hall brought up and Patrick brought to our attention, is a cooperative, is a place where we submit our proposals, our needs through Omnia. Omnia goes out there, bids for us, looks for them for us, and buys it for us. Question that I have in this process, and I may have simplified it too much, maybe Patrick and Mustafa can add, is that in this process, does it cost us anything? Short answer is no, it doesn't cost us anything. So the follow-up question was, it doesn't cost us anything in this regard, and Erickson Hall was already providing us exactly what we need. Then why do we need Omnia? Came up. And that part is a little bit not so clear to me, at least at this point. And Patrick can chime in more with Mustafa towards it. But answer was that some of the answers is that I find out today, brought to my attention at least, is that we are not able to purchase certain things directly since we don't have the license. So now where I was getting to is, and where we stopped is, does Omnia has that license? Or how does Omnia has that license? Or are they using the recommendation that was provided by Erickson Hall? And if that's the case, then why can't we use the same sentiments and same idea to make our own purchases? So this is where we are. So this is a very sensitive issue for us. MSA 5 is as much as dear as it is that it's a very intricate project that we are trying to do our best to deliver it, to make it best and to within our budget. And that's why all of this is coming up. And I strongly invite everyone to chime in and provide their feedback so we make the best decision. Going forward. So this is where I'll stop and let Mustafa and Patrick take over.
Patrick, this is Alfredo. If you can add, please.
Yes, I will. Hi, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros.
General Counsel and Director of Facilities. I will add some more information. So to be clear, Omnia is not really bidding anything out for us. They have different vendors and manufacturers who participate in this program. So what you would want to do is when your architect of record is designing your project, at a certain point, they will decide, okay, what kind of equipment should be purchased, what they should specify in the project as what kind of equipment should be included for the project. And sometimes it'll be as general as just providing certain like performance specifications, things like that. In some instances, the architect will say, well, we're designing this so that, you know, a particular type of equipment needs to be used. That's just when you're going through the design phase, these are decisions that are typically made just so that you're not going to get if and when you go out to bid, you're not getting something that's not going to work with your project. So what we're endeavoring to do here is procure equipment that was recommended to us by our contractor, our CM, our construction manager, Erickson Hall, who have, you know, cooperated with our architect of record, DLR, and decided, okay, there's a lot of things to keep in mind here. There's certain, you know, performance specifications that we need to meet, but there's also the very real issue of timing. As everybody knows, the supply chain was severely impacted during the height of COVID. I think it's improved a bit, but there's still very long lead items. So in order to make our desired schedule for this project, what they recommended to us is, look at, you know, these items are taking X number of months to, you know, to land at your doorstep from the time you order it to the time it's delivered. So the best option for you at this time is to procure the equipment you know you'll need now, and then that equipment will arrive, you know, around the time you expect us to need it. So that's the whole whole premise here. You know, typically what you would do is, even under a CM multi-prime delivery, is you would, the multi-prime basically acts as a general contractor. They put the bid packages together and they bid out the project. And something like HVAC equipment, for example, would be included as part of the mechanical, electrical, plumbing package, the MEP package. And what would end up happening is we may get proposals for manufacturers that we may or may not want to use, but there's also reality that if a subcontractor is procuring materials for our project, you know, if they're buying it for $100 from the manufacturer, they're going to charge us $110 for that equipment. That's just the way it works. There is a markup. So what we're endeavoring to do is get out in front of these long lead items, procure the items now, and to do it in a way that will hopefully ultimately save us money. And so these cooperatives are specifically allowed by law. So school districts, other public entities can participate in these in order to procure these items separately from a typical bid. So again, in a typical scenario, we might our CM would go out to the, you know, the subcontractor community, say, you know, we want materials and services for this project to provide mechanical, electrical, plumbing, gear and the labor to install it. Here, what we're trying to do is say, we believe it's in our best interest, it's in our school district's best interest to procure these items separately. And then at the time of bid, where we're going out to the subcontractor slash contractor community, we are saying we have the equipment and all we're asking you to do is bid for the services. So again, Omnia is not a, they're not actually bidding it out for us. Our direct vendors are the ones that are saying, okay, this is the equipment you need for this project, you know, for multiple considerations, for performance, for price, for delivery. That is where we are getting the information. It is a direct recommendation from our construction manager. So again, just to kind of go a step a little bit back, public contract code does allow for public entities to participate in these cooperatives to purchase materials. And that may have been a piece that I may not have mentioned during the facilities committee meeting, so I apologize for that oversight. But I hope I addressed the principal questions about it. There is no additional cost to join this cooperative. There's no membership fee. It's just you go directly to these contractors or these vendors. I'm sorry. You know, say I'm a member of this cooperative. Give me your best pricing. And there is language in the resolutions, which are attached as Exhibit A to this board report and motion, that specifically states that we we will not purchase equipment that is at a price that is not any less favorable to the district. So if let's say a piece of equipment, and I'm just using an example here, obviously costs $100 to other members of this cooperative, we're not going to go out and purchase it for $110. So we would be very clear with our construction manager that, hey, this is, and they've gone through this before, but it's worth obviously repeating with them that, to say, hey, these are the resolutions we passed, and this is how we can procure these items. This motion is to allow us to join the cooperative. It is not approving the purchase of specific items. At the time we were preparing for this board meeting, we did not have the actual recommendations from the CM as to what pieces of equipment to purchase. We didn't get it in time to bring to this board, but it's something that we would propose to bring either to the next board meeting or as we propose elsewhere in this agenda, requesting that the board authorize the appointment of an ad hoc committee that would be allowed to review and ultimately approve purchases that we may want to make through Omnia for, you know, for the MSA 5 project. Stop here for now. Mustafa, is there anything you would like to add?
No, Patrick, I don't have anything.
Thank you, team. At this moment, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? Not board members, do you have any questions or comments?
Thank you, Patrick. This is Mekan. One more clarification. How would we meet the bidding requirements in these cases?
Excuse me, sorry. Yeah, this is Patrick Yan, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So what this does with this, there's a specific section of the public contract code that that basically states, and it's referenced in the resolution, that basically states that a school district or public entity can, you know, procure materials that they think is in their best interest to procure without going through a bidding process. So for example, if the district decides, oh, well, we want, you know, a particular manufacturer, Mitsubishi, then the board can say, we believe it's in our best interest to procure these items, these specific items, through a cooperative, and that will meet the requirements of the public contracting code.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry,
Michael,
what did you say about tabling? I'm sorry, I came in.
Oh, we tabled it during the facilities committee meeting. We did not vote on it because we did not finish the discussion. So in order to get the regular board meeting started, so we tabled it for the facilities committee meeting and continue here. And board can decide to vote on it at this meeting.
Any further questions from the board? If there are no further questions, the motion is for the board to approve the resolutions attached as Exhibit A for purposes of using Omnia Partners to procure certain materials for the construction of the new campus at 7111 Winnetka Avenue for Magnolia Science Academy 5. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Ms. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Colarubia?
Okay.
Abstain. Dr. Yapanov?
I like to vote last, please.
Dr. Dikpesh?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Olden?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. We have 5 yeses and 1 abstaining for this item. Regardless, the motion still carries. So with that, now we'll move on to action item 3E, approval of Tao Rossini APC as legal vendor. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our general counsel and director of facilities.
Hi, good evening, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros again, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So what I am proposing is the board approve the law firm of Tao Rossini as a, you know, one of our approved legal vendors for our project, specifically MSA 5. I think we just saw as for the approval of the Omnia, the public contracting, the public bidding requirements can be complex. And I believe that we need a law firm that has extensive experience in this area. I met one of the principals of the firm many, many years ago. His name is Terry Tao, very highly qualified, very capable attorney. I've worked with him on other projects similar to this one, and he's done a bang up job. He's very generous with his time. It doesn't, and from what I've seen, doesn't always charge for every minute that he spends on your project. So I just have a lot of faith in him and his expertise, and I really believe that we, you know, a project of this scale requires very a delicate hand and a lot of attention to detail. And I want to make sure that this project is successful, and I believe it would be in our best interest, in the project's best interest, to have somebody, a seasoned professional who understands public contracting code, public bidding requirements, things of that nature, so that we, you know, make sure that we cross all our T's and dot all our I's. I am proposing that we approve Tao Rossini as a legal vendor, again, and specifically we would be looking to them for the you know, the requirements of the MSA 5 project. As just a little more detail, they publish their own set of bid documents that are very detailed, very comprehensive, and so that is something that would be part of their services to us. I think it would be a benefit to us to have them on board.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments?
This is Mekon Patrick. Patrick, what are the fees?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
What are their fees? How much they charging?
Their fees are, you know, in line with what we see from our other law firms, except for Young Mini and Core. Young Mini and Core is on the lower end. You know, Music Peeler is in the $400 an hour range. Tao Rossini's is in that same range, so they're comparable to Music Peeler.
And how much budget did we put aside for this? And it's coming out of this whole project fund, right?
That is correct, yes. I believe in our budget, the running budget that we carry for this project, we had budgeted somewhere in the area of $50,000 to $75,000. I think it was $50,000, if I'm not mistaken. And so all of those fees would be paid from the proceeds of the award.
And so they will be with us throughout the project?
Yes, that is correct.
From beginning to an end. So they'll be.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. Yes, that is correct.
And they have charter experience. I see that they have public works experiences. It's just that the size of this project is big, and I guess it's two partner firm. I'm sure they have the experience. Do we know how much workload they have now? How much commitment they can put in? I just have a lot of questions.
Oh, sure. No, those are excellent questions. Again, this is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. That's the name of the firm, Tao Rossini. I should have been a little more clear about that. They're not a two-person firm. They have multiple attorneys there. So it's not just on the back of two individuals. I don't remember off the top of my head how large the firm is. I want to say it's probably in the, on the order of like maybe 10 attorneys. I've found them, so they have done charter work. What I've worked with them on the past is a Green Dot deal that was funded by Prop 55, and then a Camino Nuevo deal that was also funded by Prop 1D a few years ago. So they're familiar, they're definitely familiar with charter schools, and they've worked on charter school projects. I think one other one thing that I like about them is they're also litigators. And what that means is in any given situation, I think they bring the perspective of not only kind of a transactional type attorney, but they also, I think, have a good, solid understanding of what the red flags are, what the trigger points are. And I anecdotally witnessed that firsthand, where we, on the Camino Nuevo project, we ran into some, I'll say, difficulty with a modular manufacturer, and he was able to, in fairly short order, for lack of a better description, put them in their place. So I have a lot of respect and confidence in the services that they provide.
And they're in Whittier, right? They're kind of local.
Yes, that is correct. Uh-huh. Yeah, and incidentally, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. They, Terry and Hugh, the attorneys there that I'm most familiar with, they used to be part of a much larger firm called Atkinson Adelson, which I think actually may have provided us services in the past. I don't recall exactly, but you know, he broke off with several other attorneys to found their other, a separate law firm.
Any further questions from the board?
And we spoke to other, we tried to see other law firms as well, or like they are known in charter world. We're confident that they will deliver. Patrick?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, they've done work for Camino Nuevo, Green Dot. I don't know the entire universe of charter schools that they've worked for, but you know, those are the two that I know about, and I worked extensively with them on those projects. So I definitely have a high level of confidence in them. The reality is there are not a lot of law firms that have this expertise, and you know, frankly, there are law firms with the expertise, but they won't work with charter schools.
I noticed that, especially the main principal of the town, he's architect.
Yes.
I noticed that. Along with the bar association members and all that.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, there are, like I said, there are other law firms that do this type of work. As an example, Atkinson, the firm that they came from, I don't know who might remember this, but one of the Music Peeler attorneys left Music Peeler to join Atkinson. Once one of their school district clients got wind of the fact that they were representing us, they basically said, it's either us or them. So, you know, it's sometimes it can be difficult to get the best legal representation in this particular area. But again, I've been very satisfied with their services.
Okay. Gotcha. And you know, down the road, if anything comes up, we are able to question and look at other vendors as well and all that, right? It's not like a binding to an extent where we're stuck with them for the next 2 years, is it?
That's a great question. Absolutely, we are not stuck with them. If we decide that their services are not up to our standards, we can certainly look for somebody else. There are some attorneys, I'll say, that at Procopio that have experience in this particular area of, you know, public contracts, public institutions, public bid. I don't believe that they've had much, if any, experience with charter schools. So that's why I would recommend Tao Rossini as our legal counsel in this area, just to make sure that we have somebody that does not only this type of, you know, public contract, public bid type of work, but specifically has, you know, done charter school projects, because obviously they're their own separate, unique animal.
Patrick, this is Alfredo. Would it be fair? I think just because obviously this is a huge project for us to put a not to exceed amount on this contract.
We're not signing a particular contract with them. We are basically going to them on an as-needed basis. We would be very mindful of the hours they spend, just as we do for all our other law firms. But I'm not. I did not ask for that type of arrangement. That is, I would say, that's fairly atypical. Given the scope of work here, I can certainly speak with them and say, hey, we don't want to exceed a budget of, you know, I think I used 50,000 before. I can say, hey, we want to be very mindful of the bottom line and don't want our legal fees to go above, say, 50K, without our prior written consent. Can we do something like that? I would feel perfectly comfortable speaking to them with that type of request.
But along with that request, I think there also should be, I couldn't quite see the, like, what we expecting from that scope of services would help, so that down the road, we know what we could go to them for. And maybe there are things that they might say, guys, this isn't something we promised them. This isn't something we do. No, this is what we do, so that we know what their scope is, so that we're confident to go to them. Anything comes up, I would like to see something like that from them as well, Patrick, if possible.
Okay, I can certainly ask for that. I don't think there's anything controversial about that. I think that we would like to engage them for a fairly discrete scope of work. So I don't expect anything to go above that. So I think they can probably, you know, agree to that. We can work on drafting a clear scope of work expectation.
Yeah, and I think if that's the request of our board, then I think we could add it to the proposed action. If everyone feels comfortable to add the scope of services and not to exceed amount with the approval.
Right, and somewhere in there on a contingency into that amount, you know.
Okay. So Patrick, you could help Jen wordsmith the action proposal with those requests.
Okay. Give me a second here.
Well, yeah, you do that. Let's see if there's any kind of a question specific to this one.
Thanks. Pretty much it.
Are we capping it to a certain amount? Like,
yeah.
So the 50? How much?
Patrick, we're projecting 50, right?
Yes, I right now that is my best estimate. I think that's a reasonable
That's ceiling.
And that's 400 an hour income?
Roughly $450.
Yeah, let's have the hourly amount set as well, Patrick.
Rather than that, right? It gives 111 hours for the project.
That's why when I give speeches, I tell our students that they also need to be going to the legal film.
That's not.
I mean, the project. I mean.
And that's why I said on contingency, because basically they can come back and say, well, we're going to do additional blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it would be up to us to approve or disapprove it.
So, Patrick, just let us know when you're ready with the
motion,
the revised
motion
action with those caveats.
So, wait, are we voting on it since we have all these?
Well, that's why we're putting in the action proposed, not to exceed amount of 50,000
but
scope of service.
50,000 enough? That's a great question.
No, that's what we budgeted. So it has to be enough because we want to keep under budget. If we go over budget, if we go over budget, we bring you the contract again. And then we show you how we made savings somewhere else.
Right. So these are not like Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, we would go to them on a need basis. So we have some sort of legal question that we needed to be clarified. That's when we go to these tower scenes. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
It's not like they are reviewing everything, but rather they are the question comes up and we go to them.
That is correct, yes.
I'm going to word it this way. Or the media's concern,
the amount or the company?
Well, the company, I don't know about, to be honest. This is what we've given, and that's all the information we have on the amount.
I mean,
just think about everything we went through and talked about, like,
but
the honesty and that.
Right.
That's,
but we're only using them when we have a major concern. It's not like you have them, you're going to them on every little bit. So I would say for right now, that seems to be a sufficient amount.
Yeah. This is unfair, but I would say that, you know, in this matter, definitely within our broad scope, Patrick is our expert. And this is what his expertise has landed us. And that's why we do put those stop gaps, the not to exceed amount, in those
scopes.
And then we do that. And again, if we do come back to you and say, well, guess what? We're 7 months into the project, it's at 55, then you're going to say, well, tell me where you made cuts somewhere else, right? So yeah, I would say that's kind of the balance.
Cuts in the project?
No, savings. So if your expenses go up, then your revenue has to go up somewhat
to balance it out.
Balance it out and cut expenses here or there.
Then
yeah.
Actually, Patrick would be our first chain.
Yeah.
And then if Patrick can't answer that question, he would have to go to this firm to see if they could answer the question. That's
because we discussed all items as part of our procedure. Every time we have a board meeting, the Monday after, we discuss all items. And finance, we have a process by which finance keeps tabs on all the agreements. And they're telling us, you're here, and this is how much you said, right? So if those expenses start to build up at a faster pace, then that's where we're going to come back to. That's why I think not to exceed amount.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree on that. I don't know about the amount.
Yeah,
just because of the concerns we had previously. I hope we don't need to use all those hours, obviously, but I mean. Yeah.
Absolutely. Ms. Corbius, I see your very valid point, most definitely. And I think as we move along, we will see how that's working,
okay,
whether we are
running over. It's 3 months into the project. We have 30,000. Then we're like, okay, guys, what are we missing here?
We'll just keep that in mind.
Yeah,
for
of course. And then I would ask Patrick, also finance team, to keep us posted as we move along. We're going to have a dynamic budget for MSA 5 that will shift and give us updates each board meeting as discussion items. That will be one of the items there. Again, this is important that we have a legal, group or legal advice in the background that we're doing everything by the book, that we're not missing anything. So we just had to balance it out. Definitely, we have to keep an eye on it. 50 might not be enough. It might be just enough, but every meeting or so, or every quarter or so, finance can give feedback, and yeah, we can keep an eye on
it. I do see the need, but also I would also want to concentrate on some. It would have been nice to have those funds also directed towards the position we wanted.
No, absolutely. Okay, most definitely.
So we have the amended language for the motion. So it is for the board to approve the law firm of Tal Rossini APC as a vendor to provide services to MPS and its schools as the need may arise, with such fees not to exceed $50,000 without the prior written consent of MPS staff, and with the scope of work that shall be clearly defined to the satisfaction of MPS staff.
Can we put staff and board for the written consent?
Yes.
Please.
Give me 1 second. And then the last part, shall be clearly defined to the satisfaction of MPS staff and board, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Staff and board, yes, correct.
Okay. So the amended motion once again would be for the board to approve the law firm of Tal Rossini APC as a vendor to provide services to MPS and its schools as a need may arise, with such fees not to exceed $50,000. Without the prior written consent of MPS staff and board, and with the scope of work that shall be clearly defined to the satisfaction of MPS staff and board. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Gonzalez.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Kolodovian?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Alda?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The amended motion carries. Our last item would be action item 3F, approval of ad hoc committee to evaluate and approve discrete facilities projects. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities.
Hi, everybody. This is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities again. So this proposed action item follows on the heels of the earlier item regarding Omnia Partners. Basically, as mentioned, there are certain long lead items that our construction manager, Erickson Hall, is recommending that we purchase soon. And so rather than call a special meeting of the board, or perhaps wait until the next board meeting, if that's going to be a barrier to procurement and receipt in a timely manner to ensure our delivery date, then I would recommend that the board approve an ad hoc committee with the power to approve such procurement. I would recommend, since the facilities committee is, obviously very well acquainted with this project and all of the intricacies of it, I would propose that the ad hoc committee be composed of basically the facilities committee, facilities audit committee, same members. Yes, that is the action we are recommending. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? Now, board members, do you have any questions or comments?
Is that legally okay to have a same committee as ad hoc? That's okay by the
bylaws
and everything, Patrick?
That is correct, yes.
I just don't understand the sense of like having the facility committee and the ad hoc committee in the same room. That's
Patrick,
more meetings for you guys, basically.
Thanks for pointing out.
Just me. On Zoom?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a recommendation given, given the fact that I hate to put the burden on McCon and the other members of the committee, but the fact is that they're most and best acquainted with the project. That's why I think it would be a good idea. That said, of course, that's just a recommendation, and the board can certainly appoint members to the committee as they seem deem fit and in the best interest of Magnolia.
It has to consist of the board members only, Patrick?
Yes, that is correct.
There can't be any staff, there can't be anybody yet.
Yes, it has to be members, the members.
Yes, yes. This is Alfredo in the past when we've set up ad hoc committees. We've had members from the audit and facilities committee. But
outside of the board.
No, yeah, it has to be board.
Any board members?
No, because the NPM board members didn't have the prior knowledge of facility projects and things of that nature. So in a perfect world, it would be the chair of the audit facilities committee and some other member of the IE. Someone else that, and again, it's just high level things that need guidance, and we would bring back at a further date as this information.
Those who come to board, right? Those ad hoc committees, what they discuss, will they come to board?
Definitely. It could be similar to
back to the board.
The executive powers you've granted me, where I make a purchase or I bring on a person and then I bring it to the next meeting. So we could create that same culture where, hey, these things happen between now and the August 10th board meeting. So as an informational item, entire board, this is what happened. We went ahead and purchased the electrical equipment. We went ahead and did this, and so were conferred. And if they want to add anything, yes, they spoke to me, and this is what it is.
And is there a decision made by law?
Yeah.
It's the facilities committee and the committee
that's
with the same members. So how would that work? Because then they have to both committees.
Facilities meetings make recommendations to the full board. Ad hoc just approves
budget.
Okay.
I'd like to see what our budget is right now, because once we start this and we see what the purchases are going to be, I want to be able to have a tally sheet. Of debits and credits, etc.
So does that mean you're throwing your hand in there?
But she has a condition.
I have a condition that it's only until I'm here in LA.
Okay, Steve, are you on? I know he was earlier. Steve, you on the condition from Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes, absolutely. And we plan on bringing all expenditures, budget to actuals, and all relevant data forward as we begin this process. Right now, we're kind of formulating some things, as Patrick mentioned, legal counsel. We're also have some additional changes that we're making to help accommodate this large project. We know it's a huge undertaking, and so we will definitely be sharing information as it relates to all costs, and let you guys know what the burn rate is on items, especially the major items, and actually all the items, but just so that we can have good information for decision making. So absolutely, to answer your question, Diane, absolutely.
Yeah, because we'll need it for the ad hoc committee, because there's just no way we're going to be doing anything without that.
And
accountability.
And you guys have to keep in mind that it might just be for a while. Like, it's just be real, you know.
We already hear that.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know. Because, you know, I know that we wanted the legal experience there as well, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
The hair just gets a little grayer, that's all.
All right.
Yeah.
You're not interested?
I said I can.
Yeah, she's going to join us.
So who are the ad hoc? Three?
The three of us.
Okay. All right, you hear that, Patrick? We have Ms. Eldam, we have Ms. Gonzalez, and McCon. That's three.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
All right, so we will make sure that, as this has been the case for the last 10 years, that all facility items are smooth with no hiccups.
All right, so just for minutes purposes, the ad hoc committee would be consistent of Mrs. Eldo, Mr. Mohamedov, and Ms. Gonzalez.
And is there, like, when this ad hoc committee, like, stopped?
In the resolution, Patrick, I believe you said that this committee would be all the way up to September, end of September, and we would come back to see if it's still required, right?
That is correct, yes, that is correct.
Can you do July to July, guys? It's September. The process of purchasing the long lead items.
I thought it was for the whole project.
No.
Well, we've intentionally set up an audit facilities committee every month in the calendar for that same purpose.
Oh, okay.
So we're hoping, the hope is that based on previous experience, that these items do fall within that.
Got it.
Right? So that's what we're hoping. Again, if we see a pattern of, which again, we've seen in the past, but we're trying to avoid, then we would.
That is correct. I mean, our intent is not to bring everything to the ad hoc committee and avoid the board. The intent is really to use the ad hoc committee with, you know, after careful consideration and you know, obviously with being mindful that, you know, we want to bring things to the board versus an ad hoc committee. We just want to be mindful of timelines and you know, want to make sure that we're doing what we need to in order to deliver a timely project.
So, with that, any last questions from our board? Is there a question? Ms. Gonzalez, do you have a question?
No, I was just saying our facilities meet will be in August. So we want to have the accountability about 2 weeks before our next facility meeting, please.
I'm sorry. You're saying in terms of
the budget.
So then you can make an informed decision as to whether this expense fits the line item that's in the budget. Okay, that's fair.
And I think that if they don't have it, I think that you should just move the meeting.
No, we can't really move the meeting. We've got to
and be sure that they have it.
That's fine.
Yes.
That's fair. Thank you. That's fair.
Thank you.
Yes, that's fair. Thank you,
before I leave.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
If no further questions from the board, The motion would be for the board to approve the appointment of an ad hoc committee of the MPS Board of Directors to review and approve certain actions, commitments, and the expenditures related to the Magnolia Science Academy 5 Charter School Facility Project, 7111 Winneka Avenue, including but not limited to the approval of expenditures related to the procurement of long lead items with such committee to exist until the first board meeting in September 2023, subject to any such extension that the MPS board may approve. And as mentioned earlier, this committee will be consistent of Mrs. Eldon, Mr. Mohamedov, and Ms. Gonzalez. So with that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second, Professor.
Thank you, Mrs. Eldon, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Eldon?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The motion carries.
Yes.
And as requested, since Ms. Covarrubias was absent during the first couple of action items, I'll go over each one. Just let me know if you need me to read the motions, but
I don't need them.
Okay, so your vote for consent item 2A?
Yes.
Yes. Your vote for consent item 2B?
Yes.
Yes. Your vote for action item 3A?
Yeah.
Yes. Your vote for action item 3B?
Yes.
Thank you. And then your vote for action item 3C?
Yes.
Thank you for that. So with that, that does conclude all of our items for tonight's meeting. I'll turn it over to Mr. Mohamedov. If you may please adjourn. The time is 8:39 p.m.
Thank you, Jennifer. I would like to adjourn Magnolia Public Schools regular board meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye, everyone.
Good evening. Thank you, everyone. See you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Toodles.